Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Fingers Crossed Podcast. We are your hosts. My name is Sierra, and this is...
Christy. Is that what you're prompting me for, or should we say fingers crossed?
No, I already said that part. Your name is what I was looking for. You passed flying colors. Great job. welcome back to another episode. Today, we are doing something a little different, and this was actually something one of our listeners suggested. We have had kind of a chaotic couple of weeks, and we obviously wanted you guys to have some awesome fingers crossed content, but we don't have a new episode for you this week, so we are replaying one of our favorite episodes, and yay. We think it's kind of a fun way to do a blast from the past. You didn't sound very enthusiastic with that, yay.
But be, like, really loud in your ear, like, yeah. You know what I mean?
That's very
background. Yay.
That just avoiding the distortion. Yeah, yeah. Great. We're going to replay one of our older episodes that we really like. And it actually is from February of last year. So it's kind of like a fun check-in a year later. And I was listening to a bit of it to refresh myself before we started recording. And it's funny because last year, I was right around this time, I was applying to jobs and looking for a new job. And then I got one in February. And now that job lasted about 10 months. And then I've been unemployed and looking for a new job. And it's February again.
So it's full circle, really.
It's really full circle. There are definitely some parallels to where I was at in that episode and where I am now. But I also, as I was listening to it, granted, I am in a similar crossroads place, but developmentally or like emotionally, I have come a long way. So yeah. It's kind of nice to see. Some things are the same, but they're different. What is that in that song, the girl
same,
put your records
same,
on?
Different.
No, it's like the more things seem the to change, seem the more they change. Stay the same or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever the line
no,
is.
No, I think that's very true. And I think what we like to say, or I probably have said on this podcast before, is there's no better mirror than an old friend, or in this case, an old version of yourself you're listening to in a podcast episode that you recorded a year ago. So I definitely think it's cool to kind of circle back and look at some of the things. I mean, as we talked about, one of our favorite parts of this podcast is having those like milestones and conversations and markers of where we were at when we talked about something and how far we've come since then, or like what we discovered or revealed in an episode, like while we were talking through something, and all of those that kind of like lead to adding to the story of us now and just how the past year has played into it. I think it'll be really interesting to kind of circle back on it and re-listen to what we were saying exactly a year ago, because yeah, you were just settling into the new job. Had you started at your last job?
The episode came out the day after my first day.
Okay.
So it was really new. Yeah. Oh, wow. But we recorded before I started, and
but you
it's
had talked
crazy.
About it though, right? At that
yeah,
point?
A little bit. Okay. It's so crazy though, like looking back, because, and again, I'm not here to like say good or bad things about any of my jobs. Like, again, I'm always conscious of trying to be
professional.
Diplomatic yeah. about everything. But I just learned so much about that job, about me and what I want out of a job, what I am not looking for, what I need, what I don't need. And I went into it so young and naive. Like, I remember we talked about this in a lot of my episode or our episodes about like confidence, and like, especially because my job was pretty much all guys, like mm-hmm. learning how to hold your own in like a board meeting or like, you know, anything that's like super, you know, professional in that sense.
Zone.
Yeah, it was
yeah.
so out of my comfort zone. And now I feel like if I were to start a new job, I would at least have such a better sense of self and self-confidence that like, you know, yes, you're inexperienced or yes, you're new, but that doesn't mean you're like not valid of putting forth your opinions, you know what mm-hmm. I mean, or anything like that. So I definitely feel proud of that progress. It's hard though. It's hard to like, I was thinking about this the other day, like why being unemployed right now is so hard for me. And I think it's very triggering to last year when the pandemic was that much more in swing and I didn't know when it was going to come to an end. Like I didn't know when I was going to get a job or when I was going to get to like get out of this pandemic. And so now being in the same place in February, a year later, being unemployed again, like not knowing what's coming next, it definitely is kind of like a, oh God, I did not expect to be back in the exact same circumstances.
But again, like you're so different, and that's the part to recognize, I think. Like even yeah. if externally some X, Y, and Z circumstances look the same, no matter how different or how similar circumstances may look from the outside, I think what's important is that mirror of like looking back at where you were and who you thought you were versus the progress that you've made since then. And like everything that you've learned about yourself is the most important thing, which I think is kind of like an underpinning to this episode is like finding a spark on a path that's unmarked, even though the path is unmarked. And even though you don't know what A, B, and C detours look like on the path, as long as you at the core are what you're confident in and like who you are is still unwavering and everything, I think that's the most important thing. And it doesn't matter like what detour you go on or like what different job you end up in that may lead you to this great path or whatever. But I think it's a matter of like having that strong compass at your center of yourself is the most important part. And I also think it's interesting, just kind of like looking back similarly as where I was a year ago, was I had just barely started my new job also, which I had like, that was me also throwing spaghetti at the wall of this new kind of avenue of my field of like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. I don't know if it's going to stick. I don't remember what I said particularly in the episode because I haven't listened to the whole thing again, but I'm sure you guys are about to listen and find out and maybe you could fill in the blanks for me. But I don't know like how confident I was at that point that like this new job that I had taken would be that path. But now looking back, I feel so much more confident in the path and I'm so grateful that I had that experience. It's kind of like led me to where I am now and the direction that I'm still feeling good about moving towards, which is a great feeling. And I think you just never really know when those little things are going to click in your life or when a certain role or opportunity or whatever part of your path it is kind of does fall into place and it actually like continues down that path. It's a very like reassuring feeling, but again, you just never know like what those risks or new things you're going to try that are going to pay off that way are going to be. So it's definitely scary when you're just trying to like navigate that and your flashlight's not very bright and you're just trying to get through this goddamn tunnel. Like, yeah, what does the other side look like? But you just got to go one step at a time, honestly, and don't worry too much about having this perfect picture of the other side. And you know, we're all in this tunnel together.
Yeah, and you know what? But maybe, you know, here we go with my metaphors again. But like, as you get older and you get more confident in yourself and like what you know you're capable of and what you know you can handle, you get less scared of having the flashlight be dim. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like having a dim flashlight isn't so scary because you know you can handle yourself. You're like, I know I can fight a bear in this tunnel. This is really convoluted metaphor. But like,
but I think it goes back to the other metaphor of that we probably used in this episode.
About the bird wings?
Yes. It reminds me of the bird wings. I feel like that's a part of growing up and getting older and having this year pass of, okay, yes, I'm still back in a certain circumstance or temporary state of being a little bit uncertain about, you know, what the next step is. But you are more confident in your own wings at this time than you were a year ago, I think. And I think that's even more valuable sometimes than having like one job that might have worked out, even if that didn't like lead to your self-confidence. You know, like I think some people are in jobs that like feel really great from the outside or like look really put together, but like their self-confidence is being worn down in that role or like with the people they're working with and everything. Like you never really know. So it's important to like have that inward, you know, working on yourself more than anything in that path, I think is what's going to lead you to, you know, what even is a path? What is
no, but it's so true. Like, again, just thinking about how unsure I was at my last job on my first day that, yeah, it's like, I'm hesitant to go into details because I'm, you know, I'm trying to stay diplomatic like about everything.
Too,
yeah, but I, stuff that I put up with or thought that was my fault or thought that like was something I was doing wrong that I now know being separated from it was 1000% not the case. And I think I would be able to identify that so much sooner now. And I would be able to identify so much sooner like the reality of what the situation was. So like going forward with another job, I just feel like I have almost like my vision is clearer about moving forward. And that's a really good feeling. That's why I felt like this episode was the perfect thing for today, because the path is really unmarked. And it, you know, and that was the title of last year's episode, was finding your spark on a path that's unmarked. And I'll probably change the title for today's episode just to say something different. But that really is kind of where I'm at right now. So it just kind of feels, you know, you know, anyway, I'm rambling, but
no, but I get it. I think it's like what's interesting is like even 1 year later, it's not like we're coming back here and saying, don't worry, everyone, the path is much clearer for us now, 1 year into life. Like it's no, like we're still just throwing shit at the wall as usual, but we are more confident in ourselves. I think both of us could say that 1 year. Like that's the kind of wisdom and, you know, confidence in our own paths that we've gained is that we have a strong compass and it doesn't matter what the fucking turns that the path is going to give us, you know? Okay, that's the theme of today. So hopefully you get something out of it. And even like just listening to us, if you're on this journey of listening to Fingers Crossed, you know, almost every week, hopefully, then you kind of have seen some of the ups and downs. Yes. And maybe listening back to what we said a year ago can give some perspective and just where we're at now. But
yeah.
Hopefully this episode resonates with you. And really quick, before we get into that, we are just going to, you know, make it a little more current with what we've been up to this week. How was your little week?
Life updates, all that good stuff. We just got back from San Diego yesterday. We spent kind of a long weekend in San Diego we had another engagement party, always season of engagement parties, which is so fun. Mm-hmm. It was hosted at his aunt's house and it was really fun. We had like catering and champagne toasts, and it was really nice. I got a white dress for it. It was my first like buying a themed white dress for bridal stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, those fun little milestones are a good time.
You have to send me some pics.
I will. I haven't sent anyone pictures yet because I've been so busy, but I will send you some pictures.
You haven't posted anything, did you? I don't remember seeing your story of it or anything.
No, that's another fun update. I have been taking a social media cleanse. I've been off social media completely for 4-5 days now. I don't even have the apps on my phone right now. I'm kind of just like taking a break.
So you're not seeing all of those tweets that are hilarious that I've been sending you?
I'm realizing how social media has really not been doing very well for my mental health, and I've been having a really hard time not comparing, especially because I'm not super happy with my situation right now. Like I know who I am and I know where I'm going and I'm, you know, all that good stuff, but I'm not super confident in like my circumstances at the moment as far as like my career or what I'm doing. So it's been very, very difficult to not compare my life to other people's and like my financial situation to other people's. So I just kind of got to a breaking point and I was like, if I can't handle this right now, I'm just going to take a break.
Yeah. No, and that's really healthy for you, for sure. Like, I think we all get to those points, and being the one to actually like delete it and be able to step away, like that's a very important thing that not everyone can do. So I'm sure that you've noticed a difference, I bet, after even a few days. I've definitely been there. Also, it's kind of nice, like I know what you mean about even just like having certain aspects of your life or like certain things that you just want to keep to yourself and you like don't really care to have other people's opinions about it. And it's just kind of nice to have a section of your life, or, you know, for a time, everything, just like you don't have to worry about the perception of it of online, but just you and the people that are there in the moment, enjoying it together and like really just relishing it rather than like getting all of these outside influences on it. I think that's so valuable. So,
and it's crazy, you know, it's not like I'm not using my phone. I'm still texting people. I'm still taking photos. I'm still like present in all of those things. But I have just felt, even in the last 4 days, that I'm so much more just present in the world. And I have, without social media, there's so much less to do on my phone. Like, so my screen time has been like maybe an hour and a half per day. And before it was like 6 to 7 hours.
Yeah.
I just have so much time. Probably not the best thing
to parallel it to, but it's like that meme of when Donald Trump kept getting banned from every social media platform, like right after the insurrection. And someone's like, damn, this man's phone is really just a brick now. You can't do anything.
Anyway, so that was a tangent, but that's why I haven't been posting anything or any stories or anything like that. I've just kind of been taking a little breaky from it. But the weekend was really nice. Had some super positive conversations and bonding with some of his family that was really, really nice. And last weekend we went to the Miley Cyrus Green Day concert that I think I mentioned briefly on the podcast.
It was like the Super Bowl theme.
It was a Super Bowl fest. I have never been to a concert before where before the musicians came up, they played a like 2.5 minute epic football trailer of like the different Super Bowl teams and like profiling the different quarterbacks and showing the team colors and the confetti. And I was like, this is...
You're like, what is going on? I just want to see Miley.
I mean, I guess it literally is a music festival for the Super Bowl called the Super Bowl Fest, sponsored by Budweiser. But still, it was funny. The concert was like 4.5 hours. It was so long.
With just Green Day and Miley Cyrus, how?
They each had like a 2-hour set.
Oh my God.
It was crazy. Yeah. Wow. Well, I guess it was 1.5-hour set each. And then they had about 1-hour-long intermission because they had to strike the whole, their whole band and stage setup was completely different. Yeah. It went till like 12:30 in the morning. It was crazy. It was really fun though. Miley Cyrus sang some old stuff. Like she sang See You Again, and she sang The Climb, and Seven Things I Hate About You, like all of those some of those old classics, and that was really fun. She sang her favorite covers like Jolene, and she sang a Madonna song.
Yeah. Very good. She's very talented.
Like a Prayer, like from Madonna. I love that song. So nice. Yeah, it was great. And then Green Day, it was amazing. Their energy was insane. They didn't even take a break between each song. They were just jumping and screaming and running around. And lead singers, what's his name? Billy Joe Armstrong, I think.
Billy Joe something.
Is it not Armstrong? He was just like jumping all over the stage and playing and screaming. I was like, how do you have the energy? Like, I bet these concerts 20 years ago were just like,
I mean, this man's is 50 now.
I know, but he literally had the stamina of a, I don't know. It was great though. We had a lot of fun. It was wild. And yeah, that was my weekend. I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but just wedding stuff. Yeah, getting quotes from caterers and photographers and florists and all that fun stuff. So that's kind of been my life, and nice. Applying to jobs and hoping that people want to interview me and just plugging along.
I had a dream about your wedding stuff. I forgot to tell you. I guess I'll tell you on the air.
Really?
Yes. I don't even know if you would know this girl, because she was in a show on HBO that you probably haven't seen. It's called The Sex Lives of College Girls.
Oh, I've heard of that show.
Okay, yeah. Mindy Kaling wrote it. It's actually a very good show. But this girl who is the blonde girl in it, her name's Renee something, but she was like a Broadway girl. She was in Mean Girls, and she was Regina George. She's super talented. But I had a dream that she, I don't know why her, but she was your maid of honor in your wedding. And I was like, I didn't even know that you knew each other. And you're like, yeah, like we go way back. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, why did this girl get this? I don't know why I had that dream, but yes, that was my dream about your wedding.
That's funny.
Anyway, and I also haven't watched that show recently. Like, I watched that a month ago, so I don't know why that's on my mind. Anyway, but what was I saying about that? Oh, yeah, just my random dream that I hadn't told you about.
I had a dream last night that Jason and I flew a two-person baby propeller plane to remote Alaska, and that we parked it in the middle of a field, and then we're going to walk to the nearest town. And we ended up walking into a DMV for shelter because our phones were dying. And then in order to charge our phones, but like look like we were there for a reason, we just kept taking more and more DMV photos. Like we just were sitting there like taking like DMV photo after DMV photo, just like while we were charging our phones in the middle of Alaska. It was like so weird. I woke up and I was like, what is wrong with my
dreams?
Brain?
Are bizarre, man. Like, I don't know what the subconscious is doing up there, but like some of these things are just so random that it links
so
together. But
weird. Anyway, back to your life, please.
Oh, yeah, life has been good. The last week has been, I actually had multiple accidental but not even direct celebrity encounters this week.
Ooh.
Which I thought was funny. I feel like I might have told you about the first one, but on Valentine's Day, a friend of a friend was having this like art show, and it was called Dirty Flowers, and she has a band with her siblings, and they had like art in this Soho warehouse thing, and then they did like a performance. They were so talented. Apparently they've performed at like Kanye West Sunday Service before. Like they're really well known, but I can't remember their name. Great for me. Anyway, so the girl had mentioned, like when she was introducing it, she was like saying thank yous, and she said a thank you to Bella Hadid for supporting something, and I thought she was just saying that. And then it turns out my friend I was there with sent me the next day, Bella Hadid has a multiple story carousel post from this event that I was at, and it was small. Like, I don't know how I didn't see her, but she was literally there in this room with us, and it was just like a very small intimate art gallery thing. Yeah, I had no idea. So there was that. And then on Thursday, so a few days later, we went to a hockey game at Madison Square Garden, and I've never been to it was a New York Rangers game. That's the team that plays at Madison Square Garden. And I posted a story about it, and then someone responded the next day, and they're like, oh yeah, Zendaya and Tom Holland were there. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I looked it up. Zendaya and Tom Holland and Hunter Schafer, who's also in Euphoria with her, were all sitting there, like right in the front. And in front of them were Chelsea Cutler, who's like one of our favorite artists, and her girlfriend, just like sitting in this one spot. And we were looking back at pictures that we had gotten from this hockey game, and you could like see them far away in the photos, and we had no idea. So we were sharing.
They weren't sitting near you.
No, not near us, but you could just like see them there. We didn't know until after, but
wow,
very
fun.
Funny. Yeah, very small.
Look at
world.
You living the celebrity life.
Yeah, essentially sitting 50,000 rows above them. But yeah, just funny things. But yeah, things have been good with work, especially. Things are picking up with this event that I'm planning. I think I talked about. We finally like secured, you know, panelists and things. So it's coming together. It's being a little less stressful than it was at first. And I'm feeling more confident about that and just like challenging myself more in that role of kind of coordinating it, which is good. I might be going back to the Netherlands for work in a month. So updates to come about that.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yes, it will be nice because then hopefully there won't be any restrictions on restaurants and bars when I'm there if I go again. So then I can actually see a little bit more of the nightlife adventure. Yes. But yeah, things are good. Those were my updates from the last week.
Nice.
And, you know, just living life, just trying to make it through. Anyway,
what does iCarly say? Live life, breathe air. Somehow we're going to get there. That's kind of what's been the motto lately.
Somehow we're going to get there, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, thank you for listening to this 25-minute intro. We are so excited for you to revisit this episode that we think you will find very useful, hopefully, if you missed it the first time around, or revisiting if you did hear it before but just want to like refresh, because it was an episode we got a lot of really, really positive feedback on. So hopefully you guys enjoy listening again, and thank you for being patient with us as we're figuring things out and trying to catch up on life, and wanted to give you something. We didn't want to just like bail on the podcast again for the week, but
yeah, so we just get a little blast from the past. So we hope you enjoy. We'll have something new for you guys next week, and thanks for listening. And we'll just say keep your fingers crossed, right?
Keep them crossed.
All right.
Enjoy the episode.
Here we go. Aside from people asking us specific questions or giving advice on this topic, we just got a lot of people reaching out saying, hey, thank you for like doing this topic and thank you for talking about it, because I've been struggling with this so much. Like, it was just a resounding like chorus of people saying me too, like yes, like. And I think that that's just such a crux of where we're at in this, like, you know, us being in our mid-20s, is so much of us are like on this journey and we don't know where we're going, and we don't like, we feel so pressured to see the finish line when we don't even know what it potentially looks like. And then not to mention with this huge pandemic that's thrown a wrench in everything for people our age, it's so tough. Mm-hmm. Because it's already hard enough to get a career started, and now you're facing with, you know, social distancing and Zoom and, you know, people having to have college from home and internships from home, and you can't network. And it's like, you
know,
people
getting furloughed and mass numbers and just so many different shifts that you didn't want to happen. Like, maybe you loved your job and you felt really confident about your path, and then you got furloughed and you're forced to shift. It's not always a voluntary thing too.
Completely.
So it's a really challenging
time. And also,
time.
Like certain industries that were completely destroyed by this pandemic, like the entertainment industry. And none of you guys are alone, and that this is so incredibly stressful this time. And I'm just going to give an example. We asked a poll that said, do you ever question if you're on the right path / in the right field? And we had 87% of people say all the time, and only 13% saying, no, I'm sure that this is the path for me. So that's a lot of people who are feeling like they're not sure if their path is for them or if they're on the right track. So just, again, wanted to open this up with, you are so not alone. This time is so hard. And we're going to share as much as we can from your guys' perspectives on answering your questions. And we also just got a ton of fantastic advice that you all wrote in on your own perspectives on this as well.
Okay, so the first question that we're going to start out with is, do you ever really, quote unquote, know if you're on the right path? And I'll just say, I do not, quote unquote, know many things in life. but I definitely think this goes back to kind of what we said with the poll that we did, is that, you know, I don't think there's ever going to be a time where you're not, at least to some degree, questioning something and always wondering what's out there, because that is like a sign of growth and of wanting to kind of challenge yourself more. And I don't think I've ever 100% felt that I was on the right path, but I think something for me that I've learned, I feel like I'm not necessarily on a super specific, like,
trail that's been blazed in the sense, like, some careers I do think are pretty, like, straightforward of you get this kind of degree and then timeline, you get this kind of job from it, like something like accounting. I know a lot of people, it's a little mm-hmm. more linear, but something like mine, I feel like I'm always in the place where I'm going down this train and continually, like, finding the next track to put in front of me while I'm going along and, like, finding the right direction that sort of bends that path as I'm going, because I'm always learning about new things that relate to the path. Like, for example, I always knew, I kind of just started my path with an inkling when I was young. When I was a kid, I always just wanted to change the world. Like, I wanted to make the biggest difference and have this huge impact and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, how can I do that? And I decided at a very young age that the only way to do that was to be president. So I was going to be president. And I was like, okay, well, to be president, I had to study political science. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I'm in the second grade. So what can I do now at this moment to become president? And so I memorized all the presidents. That was my first step on my path. I forgot them now, but I can name a decent number of them. Anyway, so what I'm saying is, I always wanted to do political science, and I know that not everyone has that same necessarily path that they know they want to study even in high school, but I started out political science major, and then when I went to college, I learned that there was this entire field called peace studies. I have to emphasize because people think I'm saying peace studies when I don't, but it's a whole, like, peace and conflict studying. You know, I always was kind of drawn to why societies, you know, have war and conflict, which seems like a very simple question when you're young, right? You're like, why is there war? Blah, blah, blah. But I learned that there's an entire field in so many classes I could take related to peace studies. So I started taking peace studies classes, and I was like, wow, this is so amazing, and opened my eyes. I'm going to add this track in front of me on the train and add it as a major. And then I really, really leaned into that. And kind of from there, I learned about the UN and more multilateralism. And I got really interested in that. And so I leaned into that direction of the path and built onto it slowly and just kind of was open to learning new things that shaped my path rather than knowing that it existed before. You know, like I said, I didn't know that peace studies was even a thing when I was in high school. And then I learned that it's this whole, you know, researched big field with a lot of different degrees in it. So then I went to grad school and studied just peace and conflict. And just piece by piece, the more that I've kind of, you know, slightly strayed in a sense where I was able to learn something new that I could do and just really latched onto that and let the branches kind of splay out from there. So I definitely think I've never really known, because it's not necessarily a path that's super, you know, like I said, straightforward. And so it's always kind of a learn as you go kind of thing. But I've really liked it that way. I think for me, at least, I mean, some people, everyone's different. I think it would be kind of boring if I knew what every step was going to be for my career path. Mm-hmm. And I really like being able to try different, you know, opportunities and get experience in different angles of the field. But yeah, I don't think you're ever going to 100% know if you're on the right path, but you just have to be open to building the path as you're on it, I'd say.
Yeah, and I think you'll know when something, it's kind of like you'll be going along, and then if something's, you know, not the right fit. I don't want to just keep doing these analogies, because I you know me, I'm like the queen of analogies, and
we love analogies on this podcast.
What is the word?
Simile?
Simile, but a metaphor.
Metaphor.
Yeah, like, you know, if you're wearing a new pair of pants, you won't get very many steps before you realize, like, these aren't very comfortable. You know, like, these don't fit very well. Like, you'll know. You know what I mean? It's like, and I feel like you've experienced that in a job you got that you thought was going to be so incredible and, like, inspire you. And then, you know, you started working it for a while and you were like, yes, I could be good at this. Like, I could really excel here, but, like, I don't feel challenged. I don't feel X, Y, Z. And I feel like those moments are the moments you have to listen to, or, like, I guess I'll speak about on my example here. Like, do I know I'm on the right path? No. I mean, there, what is the right path? Like, that's the thing, is it's like,
yeah,
it's,
according
it's
a, to who?
Yeah. Like, what will make you fulfilled and happy? And here, I'm going to talk about a concept here. Something that Jason actually shared with me, cause I was talking to him a couple weeks ago about our plans for this episode and, what we were thinking about and talking about it. And he brought up something called a vocation. Father Mike always talked about the vocation and what that means. And it's a combination. Your vocation is your, where your strengths and your passion meet. And then what makes it a vocation is how it can help the world. So, you know, your strength and your passion could align with bank robbing, you know, but that's not a vocation because that doesn't help the world. But if you have something that is your strength, like you're really good at it and it helps the world, but you don't like it and you don't enjoy it, that's not your vocation. But if you have something that you're really passionate about and it helps the world, but you have no strength in it and you're not good at it whatsoever, then maybe that's not the right thing for you because you're constantly going to be met with frustration, being down on yourself, bad competition, whatever.
Exactly.
So finding that vocation that's that combination of
sweet spot.
Where are my strengths? What am I naturally good at? What am I naturally inclined at? Who am I naturally drawn to? What am I passionate about? What do I like? What do I enjoy? And then how does this help the world? And it doesn't have to be like some grand Mother Teresa, like you're a doctor, you're in it, like on these traditional like frontline or helping the world type positions. Like, I mean, working as an electronic specialist at Best Buy, like that helps the world. You know, you're helping people find the things they need. You know, it doesn't have to be some grand.
It can be at a small scale. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my point. So when he brought that up to me, that was such a light bulb for me as far as thinking about my own path, you know, and the things that I have tried and like looking at my own strengths. And I know what my strengths are and I know what my weaknesses are. And I know that the field of acting and looking at like the gig life and like having so much, something that is a huge weakness of mine is having things out of my control. Have other people dictating my success, have luck and chance dictating my success versus like due your diligence and hard talent, work, yeah. You know, those are huge weaknesses of mine. And when I look at the path of gig-based, audition-based acting, I was like, oof, that is a huge, huge clash. And I think that there are certain elements of my personality and strengths in acting and things that I've loved about performing and being in the spotlight and telling stories and all of that, that I can still do, but I can play it to my strengths better. How can I take my passion and play it to my strengths better?
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think that when you're able to kind of look at that and then look at how that helps the world, finding that vocation, like putting that into words just gave me this clarity. Because so often I feel like we have these feelings and these thoughts that we know what we want or kind of like know what we feel, but like there aren't necessarily the words to describe it. Kind of like when Sophie and I were helping Christy design her new apartment space, we were talking about certain interior design terms, like what is bohemian versus mid-century modern versus minimalism, Scandinavian, like these various design terms. And Christy was saying, like, and you can speak to this yourself, that once we gave you a couple words, you were able to then research those words and, you know, look up things and you're like, oh, that's exactly what I meant. Like, yes.
Like, I had no idea that there was a name for my style.
Exactly. And you just felt, before you had said to us over the phone, you're like, I just have no style. I have no, like, I don't have a style. And we're like, yes, you do. You just don't know what the word is for it yet that will give you that clarity. And that's what I feel about this vocation concept. Yeah. Is like, when I had that in my mind, I was like, it's like a guide.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be from any kind of religious place. It can be if you want it to be or not. But that's really what I encourage people, who, if you're struggling with, like, is this my right path, is to find out, like, where is the perfect combination in, like, this Venn diagram of your strengths, your passions, and helping the world.
And that relates to a question that we got, actually, that says how to find purpose in a job that doesn't necessarily help people but doesn't really hurt either. And I think that's so key because it's all about, like, what kind of expectations you're putting on it to help people. Like, like Sierra said, it doesn't have to be this, like, grand, you know, Habitat for Humanity, big scale thing to be helping people. And you can find other ways to realize, like, how you're contributing to something beyond, like, your preconceived notions of what that is, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely know that it's hard. I think you just have to know yourself and not be looking at it in terms of what you think other people think helping people is, you know? Like, for me, I definitely, for a long time, like, I tried doing just YouTube and social media for my job full time. And I just found that for me, it didn't feel like I was doing enough to contribute to the broader world, and not even like for other people's expectations, but for my own. Like, and I know that it is helping other people because you do, you know, connect with people, make people feel less alone. Like, there are a lot of things where people say like, wow, you made me think about this differently, blah, blah, blah. And I know that it does help people, but it wasn't in the same way that fulfilled me. And for that reason, I knew that I wanted to do something like more beyond just social media that does have more of a like broad impact. But I don't do that because I want other people to think that I'm doing that. Does that make sense? So I think it's about like knowing yourself and stop, you know, put away other people's expectations of what you're doing good, and just know, have confidence in your own ability and find out what actually fulfills you in how it is affecting other people and how your work does impact other people, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you can be a specialist in anything, and like you can have these skills and it can impact the world on a small scale, but sometimes those small scale things can mean all the difference to somebody who doesn't have that same skill or doesn't mm-hmm. have that same background, or, you know, someone who needs, like, I don't want to give any specific examples because I don't want anything to feel like I'm patronizing it as like a, you know what I mean? Like, but I just think that there are so many things that help the world just to operate. You know, there's so many cogs in the operation, mm-hmm. and you don't have to have grand gesture in order to be grand in what you're doing. You know, mm-hmm. it can be
even a personal stylist. Like, you're still helping someone with their confidence, and then they go out and do their job better, and there's this whole ripple effect and butterfly effect in the world. And like, what you do day to day that might seem small and insignificant and inconsequential has so many impacts that you don't even know about. So just like, have faith in yourself and what you're doing every day and how it has other consequences for good.
Exactly. Like, so speaking of, you know, if, you know, finding your path, like if you've always dreamed of being a, you know, in your heart of hearts, you've always wanted to be a fashion designer and that's always been your dream, but like start, like you've tried and like that's such a huge thing to break into and you're not meeting any success. You don't necessarily have to turn around and abandon all of your fashion dreams altogether. You know, you can break it down and say, well, what are the elements of being a fashion designer that I love? I love style. I love making people feel confident. I love getting to work with the colors and the lights and the camera, like all these things. And maybe you decide you're going to be an editor for the fashion column of a magazine, or maybe you can be a stylist on photo shoots. Like you said, like there's ways you can still incorporate your passions, but shift it a little bit. You don't have to just abandon everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's so tough about people having this culture of like, oh, well, go for your dreams. But then if that fails, just have a plan B. And so many people's plan B is like so completely different. It's like, it just like
you don't
a
have
safe
to shift it that far to find the
right
thing.
Yeah, like
it
doesn't have to be your safe career. It doesn't have to be, you know, people who fall back into something that's easy or safe, but that has nothing to do with what your dreams once were. But you can still, again, like, you know, break it down. And so,
yeah,
that's just like my big thing. And I know that's just pretty much one question of like finding what it is you want or what it is you love. So I think, yeah,
but that's a big one. That's
yeah,
like
it's,
the
it's
question.
Huge. It's, you know, feel, and it's hard to feel lost if you don't know what you
start.
Want. But I think the best thing, way, place to start if you, you know, feel very lost is like, think about when you were younger, like what you love to do without having to worry what anyone thought. Like, what did you love? What brought you joy? What made you happy? And then also think about what comes easy to you. What is something that comes easily to you that maybe doesn't come easily to other people? Like, are you really natural at talking to people, like counseling your friends and your coworkers? Are you naturally organized? Do you find yourself like organizing everything at work when it's not asked of you? Are you like a natural in the kitchen with cooking? Are you natural with children? Are you a natural with technology? Like, what are these things? And that maybe by focusing on your strengths and what's naturally comes to you, you can find a joy in that too. That might be a starting place where you don't feel like you have to just start from scratch, because you aren't. Like, you have so much already. You're not from scratch. You're a product of your experiences and your natural gifts.
Yeah, for sure. And I think another thing to keep in mind too, is when you don't even know where to start, or like we got questions like, where do you even find it when you don't seem to have passions? And I think it's all about putting too much pressure on what you think this grand passion is. It's kind of like if you guys watch Soul on Disney Plus, how he's talking about the spark and he gets so hung up on what my spark is and what my purpose is and all of this. And we put so much pressure on that one thing that's just supposed to like make everything else fall into place, but maybe it doesn't look the way that you think it will. And I think you have to think about, when do you feel the most yourself in your day-to-day life? And what do you go to as your go-to outlet for like regaining your energy? And what makes you feel the most like relaxed, excited, passionate? What makes you want to like dig deeper into it? And really use that and parse out the why of why that makes you feel that way. And then look at the what's that could fit into that and how that could lead to a path that, like Sierra said, like maybe you find that you really like giving advice to people and you really like learning about, you know, why people do the things that they do. Maybe I should study sociology or psychology. And then you, once you get those initial steps in, then you'll be opened up to more opportunities that are tangible things that you can do that relate to that. So you kind of have to be willing to strip down what it is that really mm-hmm. drives you at your core and the things that you're really passionate about, and, you know, worry about the why, and the what will follow, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Which goes to another big question we got a lot, which is kind of like, can your career and your passion be separate? Or, you know, what if your passion won't earn money, and the logistics behind, like, it's easy to say, you know, just, you know, follow your why and then blah, blah, blah. But, you know,
or how about the classic saying, I was going to say, how about the classic saying that's like, do what you love and then you'll never work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you can have your job doesn't necessarily have to be like your dream passion, and that like when you, you know, wished upon a genie when you were 5 years old. Like, again, for me, that was like, oh, I want to be a movie star. Well, is it really realistic that I'm going to be a movie star right now based on like what I need for my mental health and like growing stability and wanting to have like benefits and a 401k? Like, no, not necessarily. But that doesn't mean that I have to abandon it altogether, you know, when I have a job now, or I'm going to, you know, be moving towards having a stable job that still incorporates entertainment elements that I love. But that doesn't mean that, like, say I get the chance to do community theater and be in a community theater production outside of work hours. Like, how fun would that be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I got to do that and be a part of that and be on stage, but I wasn't so stressed about that I had to make money from it, because I was making money from a job that I still felt fulfilled by and I still enjoyed, you know, mm-hmm. but it wasn't necessarily exactly how I dreamed it up. But then I have some time on the side to, you know, be in community theater or volunteer at like a kids camp where they do shows, or, you know, make YouTube videos or do a podcast or things like that.
Yeah, it's about finding other ways to fill your cup, and it doesn't all have to be in the same cup. Like, your career doesn't have to fill up your entire cup of fulfillment, you know, and
mm-hmm.
your friends don't even have to fill up your entire cup of fulfillment, and your hobbies that you feel like you need to have a side hustle doesn't have to fill up that whole cup. It's about, you know, getting this more metaphors. You have like a certain amount of liquid you need to feel fulfilled, and there's different amounts you can pour in different cups to get to that total volume of liquid. You know what I'm saying? Like, your career cup might be small, and then your, you know, theater on the weekends, or you're working with kids that you volunteer in on the side, can fill it up even more. But you, at the end of the day, like, you're still a fulfilled, happy person, and it doesn't mm-hmm. have to come to the thing that's paying the bills necessarily. Like, not yeah. that's not to say you should hate it every day, but you don't have to put all the pressure on like all of your career fulfillment being your job, and all of right. your personal development all riding on that. Like, there's other ways, and it's not like a failure if you're not 100% getting every drop of your fulfillment from your job. And I think that that is a lot of our culture, and, you know, the hustle culture, millennials, even United States a lot too. It's just very focused on like work, 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 and do what you love and blah, 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 like you said. And I think you have to be open to filling your cup in other ways.
We got one of someone who wrote in to our DMs, and she said that, you know, her job she works is not like what she pictured to be her dream job, but she picked a job specifically that would give her the most financial stability and the most time off. Because she picked a job that would sustain her financially and her family, her biggest priority that fills her cup is spending time with her family. She wanted guaranteed evenings off and weekends off and, like, you know, vacation time off to be able to spend time with her kids and her husband, and that's what filled her cup. And so instead of necessarily working a bunch of part-time jobs that were, you know, in her passion, so to say, her passion is her family, and then she has a job around it that she finds fulfilling enough, but it prioritizes her financial or her finances and her time off. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, like, everyone is different. So I'm going to read something that someone sent us on our DMs in regards to this issue, which I think is so brilliant. So I'm going to go ahead. She said, "I've come to realize an important thing for me about passion and purpose, as many of us think it is so closely tied to our occupation. The dream job phenomenon is so deeply rooted in glamorizing working and overworking rather than finding what fulfills you outside of that 40-hour work week. We're constantly chasing that perfect dream job instead of finding work that aligns with our values, instead of our values being shaped around our work. Life is so much about balance, and even though I'm currently working in a job that I don't like for the sake of financial stability during a pandemic, I've been finding other ways to fulfill my values as a person and do things that I'm passionate about." And I just think that is so, it's so true key. That, like, this, it's part of the hustle culture and all of that. You know, when you can find, like, there's nothing wrong with finding something simple and fulfilling that doesn't have to be the biggest possible thing you can dream up, and you feel like you've achieved nothing if you don't spend every waking moment trying to get yourself to the top of the heap. But in the meantime, you spend no time feeling fulfilled with your family, your friends, you know, pizza at 5 a.m. with your bestie, and, like, all those moments that make life wonderful. And again, this goes back to the movie Soul. You've got to watch it. He was like, if I die tomorrow, I'll feel like I've done nothing. And, like, so much of that is because you're always chasing something that feels so unattainable, because that's the, like, hustle
always
culture.
Always slightly out of reach.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like the carrot, you know, like the carrot in front of your face, and you're running after the carrot. And even if you finally grab the carrot, you find that, oh, then there's the next carrot, and there's the next carrot. And that's just, that is what our culture has conditioned us to feel. So,
yeah,
I think that's another huge part of, like, taking off the rose colored glasses, as they always say, you know, dream for the stars, you can do anything. And, like, sure, you can. And I want to tell kids, you know, young women, especially, you know, like, who dream of these big grand careers and, like, things they want to do, nothing can stop you. You know, you can go after that. But if you find that, like, chasing the next big thing always is not, like, working for you, there's nothing wrong with finding fulfillment in simplicity. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that.
And I think along with that, too, is that there's so much pressure to put your whole identity in your career. Like, always saying, I mean, first thing when you get to know someone, it's like, oh, what do? You know, it's always about, like, who you are is what you do for work and for money and all this. And it's just, like, I think especially this past year, I think a lot of us were kind of forced to maybe look outside of that a little bit and think about, you know, what you are without your productive job that's taking up all your time and all your energy and all that. And really strip down, like, what you want to be doing and, you know, if you had barely any time left, like, what you would be doing. It's tricky because you want to be doing something you're passionate about, but I think it's important to keep in mind that it doesn't have to be your career that's, like, what pays the bills. Like, for me, this is kind of not exactly related, but slightly. That's when I found that I wasn't meant to be a full-time social media person. Like, it doesn't work for me, and I've tried it, and that's cool. But when I was doing that full time and it became more of a chore and more of a, like, oh, I have to do this for work, or oh, I'm, this pressure is on me to do this, rather than, like, following my passion of what I really want to do and letting social media reflect that. And I think that's important. Like, you don't have to monetize all of your hobbies as your main career and as your main job. And just because you
I just opened up a DM that literally said, good one. Do not push yourself to monetize your passion.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
and
it's
kind
right
of like
money.
I feel like there's this pressure, and obviously I'm super grateful to have YouTube as, like, my main source of income, but there is this pressure of trying to turn your side hustle into your main hustle and building this empire based on your little hobby. And it's okay if you want to keep it as a hobby. It doesn't have to be your entire career, your entire focus, because that might take the enjoyment out of it for you. And that might shift that locus of, you know, fulfillment when it is putting that pressure on it. So just so you guys know, like, you can keep things as a hobby, and sometimes it's meant to be that, and you don't have to turn it into this big thing, because that might ruin it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to read this DM a girl sent right on that topic. She said, "I'm so excited for this topic. I think about this a lot, and I feel stuck in between pursuing a career that I'm good at and I know is a stable career, software engineering, versus following my passions, which are in a more creative / less certain field, something art related. Should I learn to be passionate about what I'm good at and excel in the field I'm in? And if so, how do I cope with the feeling of, did I sell out for not following my innate passions and opted for something stable?" So I feel like that's exactly what we're talking about.
Right, that, on the money.
You know, if it's something she's good at it and it's stable, being good at it and being stable are great things in this society. And I don't want to say that they're not. But if she's feeling like that there's a little bit of struggle in that field, maybe there's something that is still related to software engineering that is another position she could look for in the future that just has like slight more creative elements to it. Do you know what I mean? To find the joy and the fulfillment in that what she's doing, but that, like she said, something more creative and artistic, you can still find ways to do that on the side, you know, like, and things you enjoy and have the time to do it because you are working in such a stable field. But that doesn't mean that because, oh, say I'm doing my art on the side and I love it, but I'm in this stable job, like, you know, I have to stick to this and just be like, this is what I love. You know, there's, again, there's ways you can adjust the sales, and maybe there's something that doesn't have, you don't have to leave your job in software engineering to pursue life as a freelance artist. You don't have to do such a complete 180, but you can have it on your horizons that you want to find something that's a little more of an adjustment.
Happy medium.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. And I don't necessarily have what that career in mind is off the top of my head. I'm not an expert in all fields, but, you know, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be, you know, black or white. And some people say when they force themselves to make their passion their full-time career and it's not financially fulfilling, like it's not sustainable financially, it causes you to resent your passion. Because if it's not paying
you're
the
bills, oh, I must not be good at it, and then you doubt yourself, and it's a spiral.
And as somebody who tried for multiple years to make, or wanted to have their full-time income be from pursuing a gig life in the arts, it's really hard, and it's hard not to internalize it and feel like a failure and feel like, well, why am I not where I should be? Why am I still working all these day jobs because I can't afford to live on this gig life? And it makes you resent it. It does. And so...
And that's not to say, too, that you shouldn't, like, you should avoid turning your hobby into your main gig. We're not saying, like, oh, it'll definitely ruin it for you. Like, everyone's
cancel your Etsy shop right now.
Yeah. But just, like, be open to having them in different outlets and don't necessarily think that the only way it'll ever work is if I turn my knitting business into my full-time business and quit my job, or vice versa. The only way it'll ever work is if it is only a hobby or else I won't love it. Like, that's not the case, and it's not black and white. But like finding that happy medium of what works for you and being honest with yourself about what is the most fulfilling and what balance you strike that is like in alignment with you.
Yeah, for some people, it may be monetizing their passion on the side. For some people, it may be keeping it just a hobby, and that works great for you. Just don't, like
don't
you said, don't feel the pressure to do it one way or the other. Just, you can try both and see what makes you feel fulfilled and happy. Which one feels like the pants that you're like, you put them on, and you're like, ooh, these are comfy pants. Yes, we all know that feeling. Or you put them on, and you're like, these are too tight. These are uncomfortable. I may look good,
like,
but I am miserable.
Goldilocks.
Like, you know, you
which
just,
porridge
you know.
Is the right temperature for you?
I truly believe that if we take the time to sit with ourselves and ask our intuition, you know, flip a coin and say, okay, heads it's this, tails it's this, and then when it's in the air, there's a split second where you know which one you want it to land on, and like take that moment and just go with it and just trust yourself. So
definitely.
Speaking about like shifting your sales, changing direction, somebody said, how late is too late to go to grad school? Because she was in her late 20s and wasn't sure, feeling stuck. I just want to talk about, like, it's never too late.
There's no such
anything.
Thing as too late.
It doesn't exist. I remember a vivid memory when I was a little girl and we had a babysitter one night who was an elderly woman in like her 70s or something like that, who was our babysitter. Because my parents used like an agency where they would have different babysitters come out from this agency. And she was sitting at our dining room table, like doing homework or something. And I was like, what are you doing? And she was like, oh, I'm in school. I'm getting my degree. I never got to get my degree. And now, you know, something like her husband passed away, or I don't even know what it was, but she was like, I'm in college. And in my like little childhood brain, that rocked
You're like,
my
this
world.
This does not compute.
I was like, this 70-year-old woman has gray hair and she's in college. Like, and she talked about, she was like, oh, I'm so happy. Like, I never got to. And I figure now I have the time and the money, so I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and especially grad school, so many people will be working. Like, I mean, even in my grad school, you might think that it's a certain way, but I was in the very vast minority of people who went straight from undergrad. Like, so many people will go and work in the field for 10 years and then think, maybe I want to do something different, and then just completely shift and get a grad degree in a different field. Or, you know, I want to advance further, and the best way to do that is to get a master's in a more specified place or something like that. And it is so common for people to go to grad. 28 is like young in grad school. I knew people in their 30s, 40s in high school. It is super common. And yeah, I think, you know, we always, it's like that viral tweet that's like, why am I in my 20s thinking that I'm running out of time? You know, like, you have so much time in this life. So I would say, if you feel inclined to do it and you think that it would get you somewhere that you want to be in that is better for your passions, like, go for it. And it's definitely not too late.
It's never too late. I have recently been looking into different therapy providers, hoping to start some like counseling for myself. And that's, again, something we can talk about later in more detail if people are curious. But I was doing some research on this one therapist, and she had been practicing therapy for 10 years, but she was like, yeah, for the first 25 years of my working life, I was a producer in the entertainment industry in LA. And
wow.
I loved it. And it was like what I wanted to do. But then I had a midlife career change where I decided that I wanted to, you know, focus more on helping people in their mental health, get through their struggles. Producing wasn't for me anymore. Doesn't mean I didn't love it for 25 years. So she's like, I went back to school and now I am a licensed marriage and family therapist and I love helping people in the entertainment industry. And I was like, I messaged her and she didn't have any availability. So RIP.
Well, she's in high demand now because she's a great therapist.
Yeah, right. But I just thought that, and I thought that was so cool because I feel like, you know, there's no...
It's never too late.
She was in the middle of her career as a producer. You know, she had an IMDb. Like, you know, she was very much like on that track, but then just decided she wanted to do something different. And I, you know, it's never too late. So,
And especially, I think, oh, I lost my train of thought. What was I going to say? Oh, there's so many chapters to life. Like, it's not one story that must have steps A, B, and C in line to reach the happy ending. Like, there are so many chapters that take you on detours that you just have to kind of throw yourself into. And it might be completely different from something you've done before, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to like add up to the best story in your book, you know?
The biggest thing I want to say, and this is something that I want to say this and then also take it for my own advice, because it's so much easier to say than it is to put into practice, but stop waiting for your life to start. Stop saying like, oh, when I have this, I'll finally be happy. When I have this, I'll be happy. When I get this job, then I'll be happy. When I get this promotion, this significant other, then I'll be happy. Life is happening while you're waiting. Like, life is what happens while you're making plans. And say you're 28 years old and you want to start grad school, don't think of like, okay, well, I'm going to put in the work, I'm going to bust through grad school, and then when I'm out at age 30, then my life will start. Then my life will begin. It's like, no, like, let life happen while you're in grad school. Like, let yourself recognize that, like, life is like, there's no milestone that you have to achieve in order for your life to begin or for you to be happy. Like, to just focus on that life is happening where you're at right now, and that your career is not the only thing that matters. Your career is not the only thing, like Christy said, the only cup you need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to, you know, fill all those other cups, and then the career burden won't seem so stressful. So just to not be waiting, again, in the movie Soul, he says, you know, I was waiting to get this gig, this one important gig, and then I got it. I don't want to spoil the movie, but like when he got it, it just didn't feel like he thought it would, because it's about how you feel in the
inside. He was focused on the what and not the why. Yeah, yes. For sure.
The and what, not the why.
We all get so caught up in destination syndrome is what that's called, I think, where you're just like, once I hit this mark, milestone, I know exactly what I'll feel like or what it'll be like or what it'll enable me to do after that, when in reality you don't, and you have to focus on the journey, not the destination. Wow, we've got so many cliches in this episode. I love it. Anyway, the next question I think would be good along with that is, how long should you quote unquote try at something before weighing out other options? And I think this is so tricky because, like we said, there's not a benchmark you're going to hit where you're just going to know that it's right or wrong. And it's different for everyone too. Like every path, maybe 6 months into the job, things change and you finally find your groove and you end up loving it. And maybe you're waiting for that and it won't come and it wasn't right to begin with. So it's really tough. And I don't know that there is like a straight answer to give you, honestly, other than knowing yourself and knowing, kind of like assessing, are things going to change? What will be different in 6 months that I might look back and wish that I had left earlier? You know, like, it's tough.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to share one little thing about Jason. Again, he's back, the co-host from last week. Both of us worked in food service for a while, and there came a point while we were dating where his manager at his restaurant asked him to bump up to bartending. Like, you know, hey, we want to train you for bartending. We think you'd be really good at it. And I remember when that happened and he was like, yeah, I'm really nervous. I don't think bartending will be fun. It looks really stressful. I just want to stick to serving. And, you know, he's like, well, I got to try it out. So he did the training and I remember he was training for it and he was like, I hate this. It's so much more responsibility. It's stressful. I hate it. I hate it. I hate mm-hmm. it. And I remember us talking about it and I'm like, you know, you just got trained for it. And he was like, well, no, I'll tell my manager that I want to do serving only. Like, I can't do it. And I'm like, well, it's only been a week. Like, just, I don't know, just try it out. Yeah. Like, give it a chance. And, for the first week he was, you know, really struggling and he was like, this is so hard and all these things. And then something miraculous happened. And as he got better at it and he got more confident and he learned some tricks, got some mentorship from, more seasoned bartenders, like all these things, he started loving it. And mm-hmm. he started finding the fun in it, finding the fun in the things that he used to find challenging, like how fast paced it was and how on your feet it was and how like you needed to be so like compartmentalized and all, like doing a million things at once, the things that were stressful. Once he got the hang of it, he started loving it. And he went from saying, oh, I want to have my manager take me off the bar schedule, like, don't schedule me at all. He instead was like, I want to only bartend because it's more fun, I make more money, and I'm better at it. And so I just think that that's, like, such a fun story. And I'm not saying that if you're in something that you hate, like, stick it out forever and eventually you're going to love it. Mm-hmm. Because eventually he could have tried it for, like, say, 3 or 4, 5, 6 weeks and it's like, no, I still hate it. Like, mm-hmm. but give something a chance. And
if you never try, you never know.
Yeah, and you shouldn't, you know, if you try something on your first day and then you hate it, like, realize that that could also be insecurity, it could be fear, and it's something new. You know, a lot of those things can be really scary. Moving to a new city, a new apartment, you could be like, on the first day, I hate it. You know, you get a new painting for your living room, I hate it. And it's like, well, give it a chance. You know, mm-hmm. things, sometimes you have to adjust to things.
Find your groove.
Yeah, so that's just, I think that that's, you know, there's a big difference in giving something a fair shot versus forcing yourself into something that you know is not the right fit. You know, right. Again, like the pants, if you've been wearing them every day, they look fine. They're just really not comfortable.
Take a shot every time we talk about pants in this episode.
I know, right? Sometimes I just feel like analogies capture what I'm trying to say the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get that. It would be easy if there were like a magic number. I know that this made me think of it takes 21 days to form a habit or something like that. So if you mm-hmm. try something for 21 days, like you'll know if you can stick it out. It'd be easy if that was like perfectly applicable to this. It's kind of just give it a try, but know yourself and know your limit of what is actually like healthy for you in your day to day.
Yeah.
Okay, should we just get into the advice now? I feel like we're...
Yeah, I actually just pulled it up because I was like ready. So this has been so therapeutic and so fun. And I think for the last little, speaking of life chapters, for the last little chapter of this episode, we want to go over some of the advice that you guys want to give each other on passions, path, and purpose. So we're just going to rapid fire through these and maybe add a little fun commentary if we feel so inclined. So these are things that you guys responded in our question box. And again, if you want to be part of the pod, go follow us at Fingers Crossed Pod on Instagram. You can always go back to school. There is always more to learn, and learning more never hurts.
Your passion takes more work than you realize, and sometimes you won't like doing the work. Yes.
Don't do something just because it's what others expect or what you should do. This is huge. And I think a part of that is not just, you know, external pressure, but also if you like whatever you were at a certain point in your life and, you know, what you told people you wanted to do or what you said you were pursuing, if you want to change that, like, don't hold yourself like that you have to stick to something because it's what you said you were going to do 5 years ago.
And people expected of you, yeah.
Exactly.
Never shape yourself on people's expectations, for sure.
Never, ever, because I've done that before, and don't ever, because then you're living your life to impress
Like, you're the one that has to live with yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Live your life on your terms and your terms only.
Yes. Okay. I think our purpose can change as we change, and that's okay.
Yes. That's exactly like what Christy talked about in her 2021 intention, alignment. You know, aligning your current goals with who you are right now. It's okay to change your path no matter where you are in your life.
Amen. That is in alignment with everything we said in this episode. There is no predetermined path. You make it up as you go. Wow, we're all on the same page here. I love this.
We are. I love it. Money isn't everything. Correct.
Yeah. Stay true to yourself. Weigh out the pros and cons to your dream job.
I think that's huge. Weighing out the pros and cons is also like, use that to also get to the root. You know, like we were talking about, like what, when it's your dream job, what are the elements of it that you idolize? Because maybe there are, if you break down those elements, you can apply them to other things that are in easier reach. If you wait to follow your dreams until you're 100% ready, you'll be waiting forever. Couldn't be more true.
I always say that. Find what puts you in your flow, quote unquote, state, and try to monetize it if you want to. Yes, that's key. That's what I was saying earlier about, like, where do you go when you're, like, just so at peace and so not feeling like it's work? And that's exactly it, your flow. I actually took an online class during quarantine about, what was it called? It was, like, the happiness, the science of happiness or something. And that's what she talked about is, like, when you're in your flow and you just feel like you're in another world, and that's where you should like follow that sort of inkling of what could be like the right path for you.
She said, highly recommend a book called The Element, which contains real life examples. We should check that out.
Oh, we should. We should do book club on the podcast about topics that are related to the books and then talk
about
it. Good
idea. And then this next person says, don't turn your hobby into a career, because for some people, it ruins your hobby. And for some people, that's the right choice. So just definitely keep all those options open.
Yeah. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. It's okay to play with multiple things. Yes.
Don't let others' opinions steer you from your path.
When you know, you know, you can't force something to fall into your lap. It will come. I always feel just like so at peace when I'm reading like listener advice.
I know. It just,
it's so
feel
like calming.
I'm like, it's like reading inspirational quotes, but they're not just like tacky live, laugh, loves that you find on Google Images. Like they're things that people actually took out the time and heart to put into this question box. And so it just makes me feel very warm and fuzzy. Don't compare the path you take towards your dream to others. Huge lesson for me.
Definitely. It's okay to not like the career path you picked when you were in high school. Yes, we are all different people completely than we were in high
school. Completely. And when you're in high school, you don't have a grasp of like what it takes to have a career.
Mm-hmm.
And you also don't know, like, I didn't know things about, like, income stability and wanting to have benefits and wanting to have, like, not a day job, not be my income source. Like, things like this you don't think about in high school.
You just think
about the big picture. You don't think about the actual application steps of getting there. So you have to realize that as you grow and get older and take off the rose-colored glasses, you know, you look at things differently.
Yeah.
And that's good. It's good to look at things differently. This one says, it's never too late to find your purpose. It took me 3 years.
even 3 years, like, is not that much.
That's not that long.
Yeah. People
and
might
like,
not.
And, like, maybe your your purpose doesn't have to be what you do for work. Again, mm-hmm. your purpose can be having a family or doing humanitarian work or volunteering or having an Etsy shop that makes thousands of people happy. Your purpose can be anything.
Okay, this is a good one. People might not understand it, but they don't need to. Never dull your passion for anyone.
Careers come and go. Focus on your people and then build your professional happiness from there.
That's so true.
You do you, boo. Love it.
Don't suffer now just because you think it's part of a path. All we have is the present, so you gotta live. Yes.
Yes, that's like exactly what I was saying about if you are waiting for a certain event or moment or promotion or something to have your life begin, you know, life is already happening. Mm-hmm. You know, all you have is today.
Your own fulfillment is never promised, honestly. So you have to, like, forge it for yourself.
This is also good for our younger listener base, is don't feel like you have to have it all together right after college, because mm-hmm. we don't. Some of us pretend to on Instagram, but we don't.
Go with your gut. The fire inside you means something. People are attracted to flames. Ooh, I like that.
I like that a lot.
Oh, this is good. Think about the kind of life you want and fit your job into it. So key.
Yeah.
Don't shape yourself and who you are as a person around your job.
I just think that it's so great to, like, take the cover off, like, this concept that, like, your career, you know, you girl boss, career woman. Like, I feel like so much of that has become, like, kind of in that toxic positivity, toxic hustle culture. You can be a career woman and, like, love your job or anything, and it doesn't have to be this, like, you know, exhausting yourself. Yeah, like, to all other things. You know, you can be a fully rounded, brilliant person and be unemployed. You cannot have a job. Like, this pandemic has taught us, like, do you think that because I didn't have a job this whole year that, like, I'm a shit person? Or that, like, I have no value? Or that I've done, you know, like, it's like, no, like, you can be a good person independent of your job and then just still find something that aligns with your values at where you are now. So, just hammering the nail in the head there.
Well, you guys, we had a lot to say on that topic. I think this is honestly one of our best episodes, in my humble opinion. Also, we should have said this at the beginning, but we definitely weren't trying to come at this as a place of, like, oh, we've learned, we know, we are going to tell you how to get there. Like, we are all on this shit show of a journey together, and we are still, obviously, I think it's pretty obvious, actually, figuring it out, and we don't have answers, and we don't know what the heck is going on, but that's kind of what we wanted this podcast to be, is just all figuring out this stuff together and sharing our own kind of tidbits of experience and advice along the way. So thank you for listening to ours and our personal stories and angles, and we definitely loved hearing from you guys and just getting the sense that, like, we really are all going through the same thing in different ways, and we can all help each other out.
It's been such a hard year. Like, it really being has. In your 20s and looking for the start to your journey and finding a career you think you love and all of that, like, that's hard enough. And then throwing this pandemic and trying to continue on that path while everything has come to a standstill and had a wrench and thrown into it, like, none of that is easy. None of that's a walk in the park. Like, that is so difficult. And we're, like Christy said, we're all in this together. And we just wanted to
cue
share.
The High School Musical.
We're all in this together.
Yeah. Only Zac Efron were here. But yes, we are all.
Yeah, next week, our guest, Zac Efron, will be singing.
Wow. Imagine. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really, really appreciate you being there and being involved in the podcast with us and listening and giving us feedback and everything. Like, it just makes it so worth it for us. So if you've made it to the end of this episode, maybe give us a rating, throw us a 5-star if you feel we deserve it on Apple Podcasts. And we would love to hear your feedback. DM us on Instagram. Just, you know, hang out. Give us the feedback. We love hearing from you guys after the episodes. And it's always fun to, like, go through the DMs and hear what you have to say after the fact. So definitely follow us at Fingers Crossed Pod once again. Any other plugs?
I think that's the 8th time we've said that in this episode. Drinking game. So take a shot every time we plug the podcast. You would be dead. We will see you guys next week. We love you. Hang in there. Your path will come. Live with purpose. And don't stress out too much.
Perfect.
Have a great week, guys.
Keep your fingers crossed. Bye.
Keep your fingers crossed. Bye.
Oh my God, we're so delirious.